Thank you, Lord, for just being obedient to what you say. That if I will get in your word, and I will seek its truth, and I'll be honest, and I'll say, Lord, search my heart, convict me, change me, that you'll do exactly that. And through your word, you'll teach me more of who you are. And Lord, I pray you would just help me to fall more in love with you. Help me become more like you, Lord. And Lord, as I've understood the importance of rest, and I'm praying, and I'm seeking, and I'm working to rest in you, Lord, I pray the same would be for our church as we get in your scripture, as we all become convicted. I pray that you would just move in our hearts, that we would know you more, that we would love you more, and that finally, Lord, we would rest in the finished work of Christ. Thank you for all that you are, God. It's in Christ that we pray. Amen. I've asked Jose to come and read our passage. So as he comes, would you please stand and turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Please stand, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6 as we stand in honor of the reading of God's word.
Reading from Luke chapter 6, 1 through 5. On a Sabbath, while he was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some of the grain heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" And Jesus answered them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those with him." And he said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath."
God bless the reading of his word. Amen. You may be seated. So as we get started, let me just ask you, what is your definition of rest? What is rest? Think about it. If you had to take a pen and a paper right now and write down the definition of rest, how would you define rest? This is a super important question because the Pharisees and Jesus had two totally different ideas. When they would talk about rest, specifically the Sabbath rest, they had two totally different ideas of what that meant. Even though they were looking at the same scripture to find God's definition and God's meaning, they had two different ideas of what that meant. So it's important that right now, as we jump into our text, you think about this. What is rest? Seriously, I want you to get a definition in your head right now. What is rest? Let's jump to verse 1. On a Sabbath, while he was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them together in their hands. I remember first reading this. I don't know when it was. It was a while ago. Probably not as long ago as I'd like it to be. But I remember first reading this and thinking, dude, the disciples just jacked some grain. And the Pharisees are worried about them doing it on a Sabbath day? Man, if Tim just planted a few acres of corn and I took my truck, I just got a truck, I'm really excited about it. 95 Silverado, yes. I take my Silverado over to Tim's and I back it up and I get myself a few bushel of corn and just load it up and leave. He is not going to be happy with me, all right? Well, actually, he'd probably be down with it, but most people would not be okay. The deal is God is awesome because in God's law, he made specific provision that you could walk through your neighbor's field and if you were hungry and if you were in need of food, you could get a handful of their crop to feed yourself. And it was okay. It was part of his law. He didn't want for his people to go hungry. So he said, if you're walking through and you're hungry, take some grain. In fact, in Deuteronomy 23:25, here's what he says. If you go into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck ears with your hand, but you shall not put a sickle to your neighbor's standing grain. Cool. So next time I'm in one of your fields and I see an ear of corn and I'm hungry, right? This is God's provision for the people. So understand that as we're reading this, if you're like me the first time I read this, they're not doing anything wrong by doing this. In fact, they're doing what they were told they could do. The Pharisees have no rub with this. But instead, check out what their rub is in verse 2. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" Specifically, the Pharisees felt like what they were doing on the Sabbath, but by what they were doing, it was wrong because they were doing it on the Sabbath. The Pharisees thought they held the keys to keeping the Sabbath day holy. They thought they knew what Sabbath rest was all about. They knew their Ten Commandments. They, after all, are the keepers of the law. And they know the fifth commandment. In Exodus 20:11, we have it recorded. And here it is. "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day." Don't forget that. God rested on the seventh day. "Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." They knew God rested, so they were supposed to rest. In fact, they thought they knew it so well, they thought they had it down pat so well, that they turn around and they wrote 39 rules, 39 laws in the Mishnah about how you must rest. The Pharisees were good at rules. They were good at being legalists. They were good at saying, "Okay, this is what God wants. We're going to go a step beyond that, and we're going to be that much holier." At least they thought they were. They, in the Mishnah, they had 39 laws, 39 rules of how not to work. Isn't that ironic? Don't you think? It's like rain. Anybody else a 90s kid? Right. Thank you, Matt, for laughing at my bad joke. Yeah, Tara. Seriously, it's really ironic that they would sit here and they would look at the law, God's law of Sabbath rest, and they would make laws to work out how to rest. They're working out how to rest. Isn't that ironic? But for whatever reason, that fit their definition of rest. For whatever reason, that's what they felt like they had to do. And so this brings us to the main tension of our text. The Pharisees were outraged because three of the 39 categories of the Mishnah specifically said you can't reap, thresh, or winnow on the Sabbath. They reaped, they threshed, they winnowed, they ate. The Mishnah was the rule book made by the Pharisees. As Kent Hughes put it, the Mishnah was a series of 39 clarifications of work, which were exotic legalisms the Jewish leaders had developed. Don't miss that. Exotic legalisms. These guys wanted rules. Why? Because if they kept them, it made them cooler than everybody else. Exotic legalisms the Jewish leaders had developed. This list was capable of endless subdivisions and was just another way for the leaders to achieve status and lord over the other Jews. The Pharisees insisted that they knew the law and how to uphold it. They insisted that the Sabbath rest happened when you upheld their rules. Man, were they wrong. And praise God that they were wrong. Because hear the truth of this text, the truth of our word, the big idea of our chunk today. This is the big idea. Sabbath rest can only be found in the finished work of Jesus Christ. If you're a note taker, get this down. Because it took me about 15 hours to figure it out. No, because it's so true. Hear this. Sabbath rest can only be found in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So let's check this out. How do we get to that? Where does that come from? What's the truth about Sabbath rest? When we read Exodus 20:11, we see that we are to partake in Sabbath rest after God's own example. In the Ten Commandments, we see that God said it is good, and he went through, and he rested, and he said, "Now you're going to rest because I rested. This is how we do it." We see God gave us the example of rest. But wait, if you're like me, your definition of rest has something in it, a big portion in it, the biggest chunk, if you're like me, that is very much unlike God. Because my definition of rest is fixing my fatigue. Think about it. What was your definition? Was it like mine, to alleviate your fatigue? If that's what encompasses your definition of rest, understand that you are missing a huge chunk of the truth of this scripture. Because we're to model our Sabbath rest after God, right? And what do we know about God? He never gets tired. He's never tired. So he rested for a different reason. He got there a different way. He did it for a different purpose. Google defines rest like this: ceasing work or movement in order to relax, refresh oneself, or recover strength. If your definition is like this, understand that that is not why God rested. We see in Isaiah 40:28, this is what Isaiah 40:28 says about God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. Check this. He does not faint or grow weary. God wasn't tired on the seventh day. He rested for a much different reason. Check this out. Sabbath rest is so much more than just recovering from fatigue. Let's see what it was for God. In Genesis 1, 31 through chapter 2 through 3, so it's like the very end of chapter 1 through the first three verses of chapter 2. So Genesis 1, 31 says this: and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Don't miss that. It was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. So we see over and again, the Bible say that God rested. And why is that? God's rest consisted of two major things: knowing that what he had created was very good and that it was finished. Knowing that it was very good and that it was finished. We know he wasn't sitting here in fatigue, recuperating. What was he doing? He was basking in the knowledge that what he created was very good. He ceased work and knew it was very good, and it was finished. That creates a huge problem for us, church. Because in today's society, us, as I've already confessed to you, we don't do that. We don't ever quite get finished. And I would go so far as to say the reason why we don't get finished is because we're in a society that finds their identity in our work. Think about it. When you go and you introduce yourself to somebody: hi, I'm Patrick. What's the next thing that follows? I'm the family pastor at Crossroads Baptist Church. We find our identity in our work. And so oftentimes when we go to rest from our work, what happens? We can't rest because we've left our identity. If you don't believe me, check out this amazing bit of wisdom that I got from a really great friend of mine named Ronnie Pence. Ronnie is, as we all know, is battling cancer, and he's been up late nights because of some steroids he's been on, and so he's been in the Word. Praise God. He hooked me up with some sermon material. And he was telling us about how he's finding peace and joy and, guess what, rest from the Word of God. And he gets to reading some other material, and this is what he found from an excerpt from Steve Jobs. This is what Steve Jobs wrote. Steve Jobs, who is a genius with Apple and one of the wealthiest people ever, worth billions of dollars, talks about his last days and his fight with cancer and how empty his life was and how little joy he had and how all of his success was meaningless. This was so sad, and Ronnie goes on to say, it's so sad that he doesn't mention God in all this, but still, look at how empty he is, Ronnie says. And this is Steve Jobs' last words. Steve Jobs, I have come to the pinnacle of success in business. In the eyes of others, my life has been the symbol of success. However, apart from work, I have little joy. Finally, my wealth is simply a fact to which I am accustomed. At this time, lying on the hospital bed and remembering all my life, I realize that all the accolades and riches of which I once was so proud have become insignificant with my imminent death. In the dark, when I look at green lights of the equipment for artificial respiration and feel the buzz of their medical sounds, I can feel the breath of my approaching death looming over me. Only now do I understand that once you accumulate enough money for the rest of your life, you have to pursue objectives that are not related to wealth. For example, and then he starts going through and wishing that he hadn't spent all of his life finding his identity in work and the wealth and achievement. And he says he wishes he had found identity in things like love and family. Church, I'm here to tell you that even those aren't totally fulfilling. The only thing that is fulfilling is Christ. The only thing that's ultimately satisfying and sustaining is Christ. And that is the point of this scripture. Check this out. We realize, it kind of makes sense after we think about it, we can't find our identity, we can't find our satisfaction. Mick Jagger talks about this, Rob quoted him a while ago, can't find no satisfaction, well, you just need Jesus, right? We understand that, but yet so many of us work ourselves to the bone. Hebrews 4:9. Check this out. Hebrews 4:9. If you don't have this memorized, if you don't have it underlined in the Bible, this is one you want to hold on to. Hebrews 4:9. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Do you hear how this verse is such a key to everything we've been talking about? This is what the Pharisees didn't get. The Pharisees were still trying to achieve, even in their Sabbath day's rest, they were still trying to achieve righteousness. They were still trying to achieve this thing that God, that Jesus, wants to just give them. Hear this again. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Church, if we hear this, if this is part of us, then guess what? Our 80-hour work weeks can go away. Our incessant need to climb the corporate ladder, to get the next thing, to get the next nicest truck, to get the next $1,000 bonus, to get all the things that we think we need, to get all the achievements we think we need, they can go away. Because what happens is this, and this is what I'm so passionate about, and when I realized that I was not living out this week, we can sit here and say, you know what? This isn't finished yet, but God's got it. It's ultimately all finished. You know what? If this doesn't come together, and I don't get that paycheck, or, oh my goodness, this doesn't come together, and yeah, I get fired, but I've got to go over here and take care of my family. I've got to go over here. I've got to rest. I've got to do what God's calling me to do. Guess what? If I'm working in the will of the Lord, I'm good. It is finished. God has got me taken care of. Church, if we are a people who understand what Christ is trying to convey here, we won't be afraid to walk away from our work. We won't be afraid to let Christ take care of it, to lead us. We won't be afraid to be people who will rest. Sabbath rest can only be found in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Rest comes from finding our identity in Christ and knowing that he has made us more than very good. He has clothed us in his righteousness and made us perfect. Hear that. He's made us perfect and said we need not work for our salvation because he has paid the debt and the work is finished. 2 Corinthians 5:21, another verse we need to know. For our sake, he made him who knew no sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That means we can rest. Again, let me say the main point. Sabbath rest can be found in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, the Pharisees couldn't see the rest that Jesus was offering because they didn't want to let go of their laws and selfish achievement. It's scary how closely their attempt with selfish achievement aligns with the world and people's views, like Steve Jobs, who even admitted the flaws at the end. But you know what's awesome? Is seeing the joy and the peace and the rest that comes from people who find peace in Sabbath rest of Christ. So we get that the Pharisees don't understand what it means to have Sabbath rest, and that they're in, indictment on the disciples was wrong. What's amazing is that Jesus could have answered them with several different things. Philip Ryken put it this way. He could have said that what he did was not against the law at all, but only against the arbitrary opinions of the Pharisees. Jesus could have said, guys, you guys are idiots. You just made a bunch of junk up from... He could have done that. He was within his right to do that. He didn't. Instead, he wanted to free the law from the perversion of the Pharisees by explaining its underlying purpose. So we see in verse 3, and Jesus answered them, and this is how he answered them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also give it to those with him. Jesus took their accusation, their indictment. He took what they said, and instead of just arguing with them, he said, guys, think about David. What happened with him? Think about when in 1 Samuel 21, we see David running from Saul. Saul intended to kill David because he was super jealous. He was, the anointing had been removed from Saul. And what happened? David was anointed as king and Saul was still on the throne. So Saul's super jealous. He's ready to kill David. David's running. He leaves and he's running as fast as he can. He didn't have time to grab any food. And so he gets to a place where he comes to the temple of, I can never say these names in the Old Testament well, so bear with me. Amalek, okay? We're going to go with that. He comes to the temple of Amalek the priest. And the only food that Amalek the priest had was the bread of the presence, the holy bread. The bread that only the priests were supposed to eat. And what happened? David said, we need food. We need help. And guess what happened? The priest gave him the bread. Ignored the religious observance, ignored the ceremonial law there. How is that okay? Why is that okay? Because in the parallel account over here in Matthew, we see, so if you were to flip real fast, you'll see the exact same narrative, Matthew giving us an account of the same exact situation in Matthew 11, starting in verse 25. He goes through and he gives us the same account. He talks about them walking through the field, winnowing the grain, the Pharisees saying, what's your problem? You shouldn't be doing that. Jesus says, and brings up David. But then he also, he quotes a place, a part here from Hosea. He quotes Hosea 6:6. And here's what it says. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. What's Jesus saying here? In one swift blow, Jesus was exposing the heart of the Pharisees. He showed that they had no compassion for others, but only cared, again, they only cared about their own righteousness brought about by their false self of achievement, self-achievement. The Pharisees were standing here saying, you can only do this, you can only do this. And they weren't willing to allow their hearts to be moved, to allow their hearts to be changed, to realize that God, yes, he has these ceremonial things set up. But in this situation, God would allow for the ceremonial thing to be ignored. And the Pharisees had nothing to say to that. Because the Pharisees knew their heart had been exposed. And if that wasn't enough to make perfectly clear that he was the authority and had the ability to explain Sabbath rest, Jesus very clearly says in verse 5, and he said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Don't miss the weight of this. He specifically looks at them and says, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. To say that is to say that I was there when Sabbath was instituted. I was not only there, I am the God who instituted it. I defined this. I get to explain to you what I mean. And it is very, very important. I'm not shutting it down. Yes, we need Sabbath, but understand, I am Lord of the Sabbath. Amen. So to wrap up, if we know and understand Jesus to be Lord, and we know him to be Lord of the Sabbath, why do we find ourselves so tired and weary all the time? When I look at my students, I guarantee you every Wednesday night, 7 out of 10 of them will come in, and one of the first things out of their mouth is, "I'm so tired." When I come home from work, and I think we should be, to an extent, what is my first thing that comes out of my mouth? My wife. "I'm so tired." I'm being honest. When do I ever say, "I'm so rested"? I'm so rested in the Lord. I got a text from Ronnie this week that said, "Man, I am finding rest and peace in the Lord." And it was so amazing because I was in the Word studying this in that exact moment. I know for me, the reason that I don't say that enough is because I had to hear this lesson. I had to hear that Sabbath rest can only be found in the finished work of Christ, finding my identity in Christ, not finding my identity in the work that I do. I think it's not by chance that Matthew's account of this is directly preceded with a very famous verse. So back here in Matthew again, right before this account that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, you have in Matthew 11, chapter 11, starting verse 28, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden." You know the verse. Isn't it crazy that that is right before this narrative? That's not by chance, church. There's a reason there. Here's what the verse says. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If we are not careful as Christians, we become Pharisaic in our thinking, and we try to achieve everything by our own legalistic merits. Church, let's obey God's command and set aside Sabbath rest. What does that mean? Let's do what God did when he created. Let's cease our work and focus on what Jesus has done, on the finished work of Christ. Let's bask in the knowledge that we are what? Very good. No. We are perfect. Let's enjoy the rest that God invites us into and that he provides. Let's experience the kind of rest God intends, the kind where we reflect and bask in the joy of knowing we are made perfect because of the righteousness of Christ, the kind of rest where we understand that even though there are always seems to be more work that needs to be done, ultimately it is finished. When we allow ourselves to have true Sabbath rest, we can't help but give Christ glory and praise and obey the Sabbath command the way he intended it. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for being a God who provides us with rest, for being a God who calls us away from all of the crazy of our life and says, no, you need to rest. And then being a God who says, let me show you how to rest. Rest in me and what I've done. Rest in how I see you. Father God, I thank you so much for your word this morning. I thank you so much for being a God who gives us rest. Lord, help us find rest. Help us to find the Sabbath rest that you intend. Jesus, may we pray. Amen. Before